We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. It's time to head to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to bring on Omar Kelly, brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager, and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Omar. How are you?
I'm good. How are you gentlemen doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, Omar, how was the vacation? Seriously.
It was good. Can't complain. I'm recharged. I'm refreshed.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go to OTA, to mini camp practice, so I'm all good.
Hey, before we get into all the stuff, so we've been having a little fun. So you felt like Cuba had a lot, looked a lot like Coral Gables, and you saw a lot of fat kids and fat Cuban men over there. They're eating a little better than you thought. You gave me a good laugh, man. I just want to let you know.
I have the benefit and privilege of being able to travel to a number of Caribbean islands. Cuba was the first time that I've ever gone. And certainly I had a ton of perceptions and ton of thoughts and theories about what communism looked like, what Cuba looked like, a landlocked in the 1950s. And I went there and I strangely enough discovered a lot of those theories were wrong and incorrect. And when you compare it to islands like Haiti and Dominican Republic and, you know, a number of third world countries that I've had the benefit of visiting, it adds a lot of perspective to it. You don't see starvation. You don't see, people living in shanty homes. And yes, I didn't travel to the opposite side of Cuba, but I saw a good portion of the island, drove about 45 minutes into the different cities and the little boroughs. And while I am not sure about, you know, communism and its impact on the people, complete totality, but I know that they live certainly a lot better than people in Haiti.
Yeah, well, and no, you're throwing Haiti, the dictator, you're aware of the dictatorship still in Cuba, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's dictatorship in a lot of countries. There's dictatorship in Venezuela, and certainly. But, you know, children are educated for free, health care is for free, and I'm not saying that everything is perfect, but certainly, there are a lot of people, you know, to get an education in Haiti, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Nobody is providing you home health care in Haiti.
Yeah, but I understand. Omar, I guess the only thing I would say, but you're aware of the fact a lot of Cuban Americans that live here, their parents and their grandparents had prison and lost their properties and had everything taken away from them. I guess.
Absolutely.
Because people have been a little fired up about some of the stuff that you've been open with on your trip. Joe, I get you're aware of that, right?
Joe, you know me, and I don't care what people think. Here's I'm a journalist, and what I can say is the perception of Cuba, I honestly felt, and yes, I know I'm a tourist, but I honestly felt safer in Cuba than I do in Miami. And honestly, I would strongly recommend to you that you should go, Joe, and see.
I'm not going to go over there. No, I understand, but I wouldn't do that to my, I wouldn't do that, but you can't tell me, like, Cuba, if you do certain things, like the government, I mean, you don't get to see that stuff, but you can't say it's safer for people over there.
I felt as a tourist, me individually as a tourist, felt a lot safer in Cuba than I did in Cancun, Mexico. You don't get to create a perspective of things until you actually see it firsthand. And you know, that's why I was so interested in going to Cuba, because I wanted to see it firsthand. And I'm not saying everything is paradise and everything is great, but it trust me, there are a lot of Caribbean island countries doing a lot worse than Cuba.
Yeah, no. I get an Haiti thing, but you understand there's tourists like the Cubans over there. The government makes sure you're on the tourist.
Yes.
Right, you understand. It's like, it's kind of like a lot of other places too. They want to make sure you're over there, you're spending your money, that you see good stuff. You don't get to see the bad stuff, but you're aware of that.
No. You see what you want to see, but you're correct. It is just like any other island. They want to make sure you're safe, and they want to make sure that you see the best in the representation. My perspective is based on, you know, I'm Jamaican. There are a lot outside of the tourist areas in Jamaica.
Yeah.
It's rough. And Cuba, yeah, they've got a little bit of tourist areas, and they're putting a lot of money and effort into it. But it's not as rough from what I saw that as a lot of places I visited.
Well, I don't think they want you to see that on your vacation when you're over there. That, like, hey, all the struggling Cubans live over here where they're not getting a lot of food. Come over here. We want to show you. Omar, you and your wife, come over. I mean, they're not going to show you that.
But Joe, that's what I want to see. And that's where I made an effort to go. That's me on my vacation. That's what I want to see.
So you're on vacation. You're telling you went down some of the rough neighborhoods to see where people are like, we can't talk about it. No, we can't talk about it. We just got I don't know, Omar. I guess I'm just a little more sensitive to the people that have come over here that have struggled, or their families have struggled, and, you know, there's going to be.
So you don't think that people from Haiti and Jamaica, when I came here.
No. I'm with the same thing. I know you keep bringing up Haiti and Jamaicans. And listen, Haiti's got it terrible, and I agree with you that they're the forgotten people that I feel terrible for. But, man, I've got guys I work with that their parents had everything taken from them, were forced to leave if they weren't in prison. And the prisoners, there's people listening right now that have parents and relatives in prison. And I guess I'm just a little more sensitive when – I mean, I don't mind you saying you had a great vacation, which it sounds like you did. But
it's not a matter of a great vacation. It's a matter of an awareness. And understand, we're in South Florida, so I get it. This is Cuban country. I get
yeah.
it.
I don't know about Cuban country.
That's close. It's close.
There's a lot of Cubans that live here, yes.
But, you know, for those who are, yeah, communism is still there, but the island is trying to change. And island certainly is benefiting a lot from tourism right now. I heard it was much better before the tourism got there. But this is a perspective based on, I went there to see exactly what was the real Cuba. And, yeah, I didn't go to, you know, hoods hours into Cuba. But I think I saw a great deal of the island. I did a walking tour, and not just a walking tour, but, you know, gained some perspective. I traveled, you know, 40 minutes into Cuba to see Cuba and gained a great deal of perspective. Yeah, you know why I say it looks like Coral Gables and people want to joke about this as much as they want? Yeah, the housing is locked into the 1950s, 1960s, and it looks like in those some of those communities, it looks like Coral Gables.
All right.
In terms of where
I haven't been there. Building. No, I you were there. I wasn't there. Nor will I be there, but no, I got it. Would you go back?
Yeah, definitely. What I really loved was there are some great artists in Cuba. And
when
I say great, I mean phenomenal artists in Cuba. And I would really love to go back and get some art, some more art. I picked up two pieces, and I really want more.
Oh, what about Rashad Jones? Is he going to go to mandatory mini camp?
Hey, what's going on, Rashad, Omar?
I think so. I think he'll be there because, you know, Rashad likes money more than anything. So why would you take the fine just for showing up for 3 days of practice? I don't know, you know, how much he'll participate just because I don't know where he is in his recovery from his shoulder surgery. What people forget is that Rashad had shoulder surgery in the off season. So he's still in a recovery process. There's no guarantee he would have been practicing even if he had shown up for OTA.
Omar, what do you think the biggest reason that Rashad wouldn't go to OTAs with a new coach and a new system? I understand last year's system. I know it was terrible, but what do you think the biggest reason, like, he wouldn't get off, try to get off to a good start with Coach Flores, who claims giving everybody a fresh start.
I don't know if Rashad needs a fresh start. Rashad's got his money. Nobody forced Miami Dolphins to sign that contract. Rashad is being trained by one of the world's most renowned trainers. He's paying a hefty price for it because, you know, that ain't cheap. And Rashad knows exactly where he is at his career, 29. Yeah. You know, coming off a probably one of his worst NFL seasons, probably because of injuries and the scheme that he was put in and how he was utilized. And, you know, he knows he needs to have a great season. So he's put himself in a position to be trained and prepared for the best. People have this perception that OTAs is so, you know, tremendously great work or it's busy work. Let's be real about it. It's busy work for NFL players. If Rashad feels that he can get a better training and better preparation from people outside the facility, cover two is cover two. You know, zone is zone. You know,
that stuff is, but not the other stuff. I would disagree. They got a lot more packages than this double zone. Or a weak side blitz or a strong side blitz or
but here's
cover
the thing,
three.
Joe, and I hear what you're saying, Joe, but even Flores will tell you they're doing basic vanilla stuff right now. Basic vanilla stuff. You don't think Rashad Jones has seen this stuff in 8 years of a career?
Yeah. No. I just think listen, everybody wants to have the guys around. I mean, Omar, I get that it's voluntary. It's been voluntary, but everybody likes to have their guy around. And I like Rashad. And listen, Rashad, I've never seen Rashad out of shape, so it's not a matter of that or anything else. I just am kind of like, all right, new coach, new system. Guy's got a great proven defensive system. Let me get off to a good start and show him. And, hell, maybe I'll stay for 2 or 3 years here if everything works out.
It don't matter because everybody knows what the situation is with Rashad. If the Dolphins could have moved him, they would have moved him. They can't move him. It is the reality. He's got a ridiculously big contract that nobody twisted their arm to sign.
Yeah, but I'm not mad about it. You keep bringing up the money. I don't care about the money. God bless him. He got his money.
It's about the money. This is really about the money. And people have this perception that, oh, Rashad is this grown-up. No, Rashad is cashing checks. And Rashad ain't taking it personal. And he'll show. Hopefully, he shows up today, and hopefully, he'll talk, and hopefully, he won't make himself sound like, you know, just like he's just a greedy NFL player. But when the roles and situation is flipped from a business standpoint, teams don't have any shame about treating this like a business. But when a player treats it like a business, then everybody's got a problem with it. Like this ain't a NFL is this team stuff is fiction. It's fiction and. Unfortunately, players realize that when they get to the business side of it. Well, Rashad has been through the business side twice. He's got 2 mega contracts from the Miami Dolphins. In my opinion, in the 11 years I've covered the team, nobody has won more than Rashad Jones when it comes to the business end of it. I'm not going to sit here and say Rashad is a bad guy because he won in the business end. No,
well, nobody's saying he's a bad guy. You just said he's a bad guy. Nobody said he's a bad guy. I think everybody likes Rashad. I just want him around because I think he can really help him and I'd like to see him around with all the young guys and everything else and see how it all plays out. That's all. But you're telling me it's all business, so.
Rashad's a businessman. People will say he's selfish. I call it he's a businessman. And I don't have a problem with selfish players in the NFL because if you don't look out for yourself, who in the world will? Will it be the organization, the same one that cut Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor? Like, no. This NFL is not about friendships or family or team.
No, it's about
the
production.
NFL is a business.
No, it's about production. I think everybody's played it, understands. You think you're real liked till you get injured or you're not playing as well and you make as much as you can and you get guaranteed money and he's done a great job with it. But I thought that'd just be another reason. He's got the guaranteed money and hell, he plays well. Maybe they bring him back and they go, hey,
I don't see that happening, and for various reasons, because you know how the business works. And truth be told, people don't realize this, but I believe if he plays in the first game, he's got $4 million in next year's contract guarantee. So Rashad has got a very beautiful contract, and it's super complicated. And would the Dolphins love to unload it? Absolutely. Can they? No. And that's their problem. It's not Rashad's problem.
All right, Omar.
Thank you, Omar.
Well, you came out getting it all fired up today, man. I thought, I thought I'd hear a little bit more sensitive to the cause here in South Florida. I didn't hear it. Omar, take care of yourself. We'll see you out there.
All right.
That was Omar Kelly, brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. And the text machine is broken.
What do you mean it's broken?
It's broken.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.